قُلْ رَبِّ إِمَّا تُرِيَنِّي مَا يُوْعَدُونَ.
Pray, O Muhammad, peace be upon him. My Lord, if you should bring the scourge of which they had been warned in my presence.
رَبِّ فَلَا تَجْعَلْنِي فِي الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ.
Then do not include me, my Lord, among these wrongdoing people. Then do not include me, my Lord, among these wrongdoing people.
This, of course, does not mean that there was any danger that the Prophet, peace be upon him, would become one of the wrongdoers. Nor was there any possibility that he would succumb to iniquity if he did not make the prayer mentioned here. Rather, the point that is made emphasizes that God's punishment is something to be dreaded. It is certainly not something that a person should invite upon himself. Additionally, if God defers his punishment as a result of his mercy and forbearance, this should not prompt a person to persist with impunity in acts of iniquity and disobedience against God. God's punishment is so horrendous that even the righteous will seek refuge from it. This, despite all the good deeds they might have done. So what hope is there for the sinners? This also indicates that when God's punishment comes upon a people as retribution for their collective misdeeds, it is not only the evildoers, but also the righteous who are often struck by it. Hence, the righteous who live in a misguided and wicked milieu should always seek God's refuge from his punishment. For one never knows when God's scourge will seize the wrongdoers and whom it will include.
وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ أَن نُرِيَكَ مَا نَعِدُهُمْ لَقَادِرُونَ.
Surely, we are able to show you what we warn them against.
اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ السَّيِّئَةَ نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَصِفُونَ.
O Muhammad, peace be upon him, repel evil in the best manner. We are well aware of all that they say about you.
وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ.
And pray, my Lord, I seek your refuge from the suggestions of the evil ones.
وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ رَبِّ أَن يَحْضُرُونَ.
I even seek your refuge, my Lord, lest they should approach me. I even seek your refuge, my Lord, lest they should approach me.
For further elaboration, see Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 2, Al-An'am 6, Notes 71-2, Paragraphs 262-3. Volume 3, Al-A'raf 7, Notes 138 and 150-3, Paragraphs 101-2 and 112-15. Volume 4, Yunus 10, Note 39, Paragraph 32, Al-Hijr 15, Note 48, Paragraph 302, and Al-Nahl 16, Notes 122-4, Paragraphs 375-7, and Volume 5, Bani Israel 17, Notes 58-63, Paragraphs 51-3. Also see Fusilat 41, Notes 36-41.
حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال رب ارجعون.
They shall persist in their deeds until when death comes to any one of them, he will say, My Lord, send me back to the world. They shall persist in their deeds until when death comes to any one of them, he will say, My Lord, send me back to the world.
The expression Rab Arjoon has a plural form. One possible meaning is that the plural of respect adopted here addresses one who is worthy of it. The use of the plural form as a show of respect is common to virtually all languages. The other possible reason for use of the plural might be to emphasize that this prayer was to be made over and over again. In other words, it conveys the idea that they should pray repeatedly. Send me back, send me back. Additionally, some commentators have expressed the opinion that in the first part of this sentence, the words, My Lord, are addressed to God, whereas the second part of the sentence, Arjeun, send me back, is a pleading addressed to those angels who seize the soul of a sinner. In other words, the verse would mean, O my Lord, O angels, send me back.
لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ
That I have left behind, I am likely to do good. Nay, it is merely a word that he is uttering. There is a barrier behind all of them who are dead until the day when they will be raised up. That I have left behind, I am likely to do good.
That sinners would constantly pray to God to grant them another chance, right from the time of their death until they are hurled into hell on the day of judgment, is a recurrent idea in the Quran. In fact, they will continue to so plead, even after they have been consigned to hell. But if their plea is heard, they will never disobey God, but from thereon in follow the right path instead.
Nay,
despite their pleading, the sinners will not be sent back to the world. No one will be allowed to start his life afresh. The reason being that if a person is granted a fresh lease of life for the same purpose, that is, to test him, one of two conditions will obtain. Either all that he witnessed after his death will remain preserved in his memory, or he will be restored to life devoid of any memory, as was the case at the time of his first birth. In the former situation, the whole purpose of testing him would be lost, for this test consists in whether one discovers the truth by appropriately using one's mental faculties and accepts it or not, or whether without directly observing ultimate realities, one chooses obedience rather than disobedience, even though one has had the freedom to choose between the two. But once the ultimate realities are shown to man, and he witnesses the dire consequences of his disobedience, then this almost amounts to depriving him of the opportunity to disobey. Once man observes with his own eyes the horrible consequences of disobedience, how is it possible that he would not believe and not be obedient? Let us now consider the second possibility, namely, that man is recreated exactly as he was before, that is, bereft of any memory of past misdeeds, and without having directly observed the ultimate consequences of disobedience to God. This would be tantamount to repeating something unnecessarily. For if someone failed the test earlier, what point is there in subjecting them to the same test again, for they are bound to perform exactly as previously?
It is merely a word that he is uttering.
It may alternatively be translated as, it is a statement he is now bound to make. In other words, his utterance is not worth considering. For faced with God's punishment, he is bound to say so. Yet given another chance, he would behave exactly as he did earlier. Hence, his utterance merits no attention, and he need not be sent back to life.
There is a barrier behind all of them who are dead until the day when they will be raised up.
The word barzakh is an Arabized form of the Persian word parda, signifying a barrier. According to this verse, there is presently a barrier between those who are dead and the present world. This barrier prevents the dead from returning to life, and so they will stay where they are till the day of judgment.
فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ
And then, no sooner than the trumpet is blown, there will remain no kinship among that day, nor will they ask for one another. And then, no sooner than the trumpet is blown, there will remain no kinship among that day, nor will they ask for one another.
This does not mean that a father will cease to be a father, and a son cease to be a son. Rather, it means that neither a father will be of any avail to his son, nor a son of any avail to his father. Everyone will be too engrossed in their own plight to be able to think of their kindred, let alone show them any sympathy or aid. This state of affairs is mentioned at several places in the Quran. No friend shall inquire about another friend. Al-Mi'raj 70:10. To redeem himself from the torment of that day, the sinner will gladly sacrifice his children, his wife, his brother, his kindred who had provided him shelter, and all the people of the earth. Al-Mi'raj 70:11-14. On that day, each person shall flee from his own brother, and from his mother and his father, and from his wife and his children. Each one of them, that day, will have enough concern of his own to make him indifferent to the others. Abasa 80:34-7.
فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ
It will be an hour when those whose scales are heavy, they alone will attain success. It will be an hour when those whose scales are heavy.
This is a reference to those whose good deeds will outweigh their evil ones.
وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فِي جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ
And those whose scales are light, those will be the ones who will have courted loss. They will abide in hell. And those whose scales are light, those will be the ones who will have courted loss.
These verses should be read in conjunction with the Quranic account of true prosperity and failure as outlined in the opening verses 1 and verses 51 of the present surah.
تلفح وجوههم النار وهم فيها كالحون.
The fire shall scorch their faces, exposing their jaws. The fire shall scorch their faces, exposing their jaws.
The word used here is kalihun, signifying those whose face is so scorched that their skin is tattered and their teeth are protruding, just as though they are a burnt head of a goat. Someone asked Abdullah ibn Masud the meaning of the root word KLH. To this he replied, "Have you not seen the burnt head of an animal?"
أَلَمْ تَكُنْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَكُنْتُمْ بِهَا تُكَذِّبُونَ
Are you not those to whom my revelations were recited, and you dubbed them as lies?
قَالُوا رَبَّنَا غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا شِقْوَتُنَا وَكُنَّا قَوْمًا ضَالِّينَ
They will say, Our Lord, our misfortune prevailed over us. We were indeed an erring people.
رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْهَا فَإِنْ عُدْنَا فَإِنَّا ظَالِمُونَ
Our Lord, take us out of this. Then if we revert to evil doing, we shall indeed be wrongdoers.
قال اخسأوا فيها ولا تكلمون
Allah will say, Away from me, stay where you are and do not address me. Allah will say, Away from me, stay where you are and do not address me.
The unbelievers are told not to plead to be free, nor to put forth any excuses. This does not mean, however, that they will become mute and disabled from such pleading for themselves. True, some traditions suggest that this will be their very last utterance. But this view is, however, discordant with the Quranic account, for the Quran subsequently recounts the conversation that will take place between the unbelievers and God in the next life. Obviously, either these traditions are untrue, or they mean that thereafter the unbelievers will not be able to plead for their redemption.
إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِي يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ
You are those that when a party of my servants said, Our Lord, we believe, so forgive us, and have mercy on us, for you are the best of those that are merciful.
فَاتَّخَذْتُمُوهُمْ سِخْرِيًّا حَتَّى أَقْسَمْكُمْ ذِكْرِي وَكُنْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ تَضْحَكُونَ
You made a laughing stock of them, and your hostility to them caused you to forget me, and you simply kept laughing.
إِنِّي جَزَيْتُهُمُ الْيَوْمَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا أَنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ
Lo, I have rewarded them this day for their steadfastness, so that they, and they alone, are triumphant. Lo, I have rewarded them this day for their steadfastness, so that they, and they alone, are triumphant.
Once again, the Quranic concepts pertaining to success and failure are being clearly stated in the present verse.
قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ
Then Allah will ask them, For how many years did you stay on earth?
قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ فَاسْأَلِ الْعَادِّينَ
They will say, We stayed for a day or a part of a day. Ask of those who keep count of this. They will say, We stayed for a day or a part of a day.
For details, see Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 5, Taha 20, Note 80, Paragraph 224-5.
He will say, You stayed only for a while, if you only knew that. He will say, You stayed only for a while, if you only knew that.
The messengers used to tell the unbelievers that the life of the world was meant merely to test them. It was a life so ephemeral that they should not consider it to be their real life. They were told in unequivocal terms that the real abode will be in the world to come, wherein they will remain forever. They were, therefore, counseled not to engage in deeds which, whilst yielding some transient pleasure, will nonetheless destroy all their prospects in the eternal life of the hereafter. Yet the unbelievers did not pay any heed to the messengers. They were bent on denying the hereafter and believed that the next life was simply a figment of the messengers' imaginations. They suffered from the illusion that the life of the world was all that there was, and hence is sought to be enjoyed to the maximum. The unbelievers' remorse later on, though, will be to no avail. They should have realized, while they were alive, that the afterlife is a reality. Instead, they wasted the opportunity that was made available to them, totally ruining their prospects in the never-ending life of the hereafter for the sake of the advantages and pleasures of the present life.
أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ
Did you imagine that we created you without any purpose and that you will not be brought back to us? Did you imagine that we created you without any purpose?
The word abathan used here may be taken to mean either by way of sport and play or for the sake of sport and play. In the former sense, the verse means, Do you believe that man was created simply by way of jest and amusement, that his creation was devoid of any purpose, and that God had dispersed a species on earth without requiring it to achieve any object? If the word abathan is understood in the latter sense, it means, Do you think that you have been created merely to devote all your time to frivolous things such as sport, play, and entertainment, to activities that lead to no worthwhile results?
فَتَعَالَى اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقُّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْكَرِيمِ
So, exalted be Allah, the true King. There is no God but He, the Lord of the noble throne. So, exalted be Allah.
That is, He is far too exalted to do anything that is purposeless. Also, He is far too exalted to make it possible for any of His creatures to partake of His divinity.
وَمَن يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ فَإِنَّمَا حِسَابُهُ عِندَ رَبِّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ
He who invokes any other god, along with Allah, a god for whom he has no evidence, his reckoning is with his Lord alone. Indeed, these unbelievers shall not prosper. He who invokes any other god, along with Allah, a god for whom he has no evidence.
An alternative rendering of the above could be, he who invokes any other god along with Allah has no sanction to do so.
His reckoning is with his Lord alone.
That is, there will be no way for such people to escape from being called to account, from being questioned about their deeds.
Indeed, these unbelievers shall not prosper.
This is a reiteration of the point made earlier, a statement about those who will truly prosper and those who will be the losers.
وَقُلْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ
And say, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, my Lord, forgive us and have mercy on us, for you are the best of those that are merciful. And say, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, my Lord, forgive us and have mercy on us, for you are the best of those that are merciful.
The subtlety of this supplication should not be missed. It was earlier pointed out that God would not pardon those who had made a laughing stock of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the believers when they made this prayer. See verses 105-10. Now, the Prophet, peace be upon him, and by implication of the companions, are also being directed to make the same prayer mentioned above. The implication being that if the unbelievers persist in this mocking of them, they will earn strong evidence against themselves in the hereafter. This despite the clear warning they have been given here.